Friends, thank you for joining us for this session of Focus on Faith. My name is Kevin Keefe. The Bible presents Jesus Christ in a number of ways. Certainly through the Old Testament Scripture, we understand that a Messiah was to come into the world, and that in coming to this world, He would represent God and ultimately would die at Calvary's cross for the sins of mankind. As we think about the ways in which Jesus is presented, the Bible presents that Jesus reigns as King. What is it that God says in regard to Jesus reigning as King? Good people, when we think about the coming of Christ, His coming was a very well-orchestrated plan of God. In the Old Testament Scripture, we understand is that God had promised shortly after the fall of Adam and Eve to sin there in the garden, that God would send forth a Savior into the world. But also we understand is that this Savior would come through the seed of Abraham. Through Abraham's descendants, every nation of the earth would be blessed. We understand that through the Old Testament Scripture, God prepared for the coming of the Messiah. And then when we come into the New Testament Scripture, we find the presentation of Jesus Christ our Lord as the Messiah that the prophets had promised would come into the world and ultimately die for the sins of mankind. Also, after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, we understand that Jesus is proclaimed to be the Son of the living God. Also, that salvation is brought forth in and only through Him. During the course in which Jesus was here, He came to execute the will of our God. In fact, what does this mean? Good people, it means that Jesus came to show or to reveal our Father unto mankind. During the time in which He was here, He identified as that His will as the Son was to reveal the Father. In John chapter 1 and verse 18, it is revealed there is that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the monogenes in the Greek language, He has declared Him. That word declared in the Greek language is exegete, which literally means that He came to reveal or to explain the Father. And certainly we understand that Jesus was very capable of doing so. Why? Because He pre-existed in heaven with God as God, and therefore, whenever He came to this world, good people, He was able to explain God like God had never been explained before. In coming to this world, He understood the will of God, and He came to do the will of God and to present God's will unto mankind. In fact, in the book of John chapter 4 and verse 34 and John chapter 6 and verse 38, He reveals that my food or my purpose is to do the will of God. But good people, not only do we understand that during the course of His life here, He presented the will of God, He came to execute the will of God, but in like figure, it necessitated Him doing the will of God to die at Calvary's cross for the sins of mankind. His death completed God's eternal plan of redemption. We understand that in the Old Testament Scripture, a lamb, a perfect sacrifice, was to be offered on the behalf of the sins of mankind in order for their atonement, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3. Jesus Christ is indeed the Lamb of God to take away sin. John declared this in John chapter 1 and verse 29. We realize that Jesus Christ came to give Himself a ransom for our sin, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. In this, it necessitated the shedding of His blood. And through the shedding of His blood, the Scripture reveals unto us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, is that He brings salvation. And therefore, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross and uttered these words, "It is finished," good people, He brought the closure to heaven's eternal plan of redemption. Each statement that is presented at Calvary is very powerful. When we look to the work of Christ, we understand that He represented God. But also, as we look to the words of Christ, we understand the multiple ways in which He represented God and the things that not only He said, but the things that even from time to time is said about Him help us to understand His mission and the work and who He is as the Savior of the world. Take into consideration whenever He dies there at Calvary's cross, or is offered rather, is that it is stated with a symbol that is placed above Him, King of the Jews. If you look to the immediate context of what is presented there, I believe that this was posted to ridicule our Lord and Savior, but in like figure, to humiliate the Jews. They did not want Him as King, but yet at the same time, God, in His eternal wisdom and plan, knew that this was going to be stated. Why? Because indeed He was the King of the Jews. But also, not only was He King of the Jews, good people, He reigns as King even unto this very day. When we think in regard to Jesus serving as king, we realize is that there are a number of promises found throughout the Scripture concerning his kingship. A king would come from the tribe of Judah, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. As Jacob is giving blessings unto his children, he reveals that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until the one to whom it belongs. And good people, while in the immediate context it does indeed have reference to David and his reign, in the ultimate context it means that it was pointing to Jesus, that Jesus Christ would someday occupy the throne of David, and that truly the scepter or the throne belonged unto him. At what point did Jesus then receive the throne? Acts chapter 2. We realize is that he is given as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We learn from the Scripture in like figures that a king would arise out of God's people. From amongst God's own people, he said that a star would come out of Jacob and a scepter out of Judah. In this, we realize is that when Jesus would come and to reign as king, that he would come from the seed of Abraham, Jacob, being that seed, and that in his coming he would reign as prophet, as the one who would speak on the behalf of God, that he would reign as the high priest, the ultimate high priest, being able to make an atonement for the sins of mankind. But then in like figure, he would reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Old Testament Scripture reveals this unto us, that this was a part of God's promise and God's plan, but also we find the fulfillment of these things in and through the New Testament Scripture. The Scripture also reveals to us is that a king would someday reign forever. Kings had indeed set up on thrones through the Old Testament Scripture and certainly even during the times in the New Testament. But yet God wanted those who were His people, but also all people, to realize is that God, the God of heaven, would establish a kingdom that would not fall into the hands of another king, but rather that that kingdom would reign forever, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, and that in that kingdom there would be one who would reside forever as king over the kingdom of which he would establish. This was prophesied in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, and we understand the fulfillment of this is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whenever he is given the king, or whenever he is given the kingdom there as the presentation of the kingdom there at Pentecost, and he now reigns as king over the king. And God also promised that a king would rule from heaven, that he would not have a physical earthly kingdom of which he would reside over, even though we understand from a study of the New Testament Scripture that the Jews were looking for a physical earthly king to come and to establish a physical earthly kingdom. Jesus is not that type of a king, but rather he reigns from heaven. He reigns on the behalf of God. He is the Son of God. He is the head of the church, and in all things he reigns, not here in this world, but good people, his reign is from indeed heaven above. His rule, the Bible identifies concerning the king, our Lord and Savior, is that the government would rest upon his shoulder. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. As such, he is the administrator of the Godhead. He is the one who works on the behalf of the Godhead. As he is the administrator over the things pertaining to God, we understand that he is the one who is presenter concerning the will of God. He is the executor of the things that are essential for God, but also he is the one who is the fulfiller. In Christ, all things pertaining the will and the plan of God is fulfilled. In fact, in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. We realize, too, concerning his reign, is that he is the king and his kingdom are a perpetual kingdom. Kings, indeed, had come and gone, but yet when we think in regard to Jesus Christ and his rule, there will never be a termination to his kingdom or to his reign as king. No one will ever replace him. Why? Because as you look to the establishment of the kingdom that God was going to present, it was Jesus who was going to reign over that kingdom on a continual, perpetual manner. And in all things we understand concerning the reign of Christ and in His kingdom, the Lord's church, is that He will never let man down. while kings have ruled and let people down, and even to this day continue to do so, Jesus Christ will never be guilty of this. Also, when we think in regard to His rule as King, we realize that He is the Lord of Lords and the King of all kings. Earthly kings are merely man. In that, what I mean is that they are human, they have weaknesses that they fall subject to, sickness even. In these things, we understand concerning these men is that they have imperfections. These individuals sin against God. These individuals not only sin against God, these people let mankind down, as we've already alluded to. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, He is perfect. He does not even compare. These other men pale in comparison to Jesus Christ as the King of kings and the Lord of all lords. Good people, also we understand is that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. If man wants a relationship with God, and we understand that in having a relationship with our God, this is how that we're going to be able to have peace, true peace, that this is going to have to come through Jesus Christ. And Isaiah, some 8 centuries before Jesus came into this world, realized that in stating what he did in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And we understand the fulfillment of this is in Jesus Christ our Lord. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus declared is that He was leaving His peace with not only the apostles in the immediate context, but with all those who would eventually come to be believers, obedient believers, by submitting themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and being raised to walk then, therefore, in newness of life. Good people, as we think about Jesus Christ our Lord and His reign as King, the Bible declares unto us is that certain things we need to understand about His kingdom. He is the authority over the universal creation. As we think about Jesus reigning over the entire universe, He is aware of everything that takes place here in this world. Psalms 121 and verse 8. He is involved in the affairs of mankind's life. There are those who are deists who believe that God created this world and has stepped back, and at that point He no longer has any say or any involvement with the affairs of man, but yet the Bible declares unto us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 and other such verses is that indeed God not only is aware of things that take place in this world, good people, He's actively engaged in bringing forth good into our life. He controls the devil's abilities, Job chapter 1 verses 1 through 10, and while Satan is indeed able to roam to and fro upon the face of the earth, He is limited by our God, by our Lord and Savior. Jesus entered into the strong man's house and bound the strong man, therefore giving him only a limited ability in his abilities then therefore to tempt and to test mankind. And the Bible reveals to us concerning His reign over and authority over the universal creation is that He will judge the lives of man whenever we stand before God in judgment. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. Good people, regarding this kingdom of which Jesus Christ is ruling over, His kingdom, we understand, though, is not of this world. In John chapter 8 and verse 36, when Jesus is standing before Pilate, having been accused of blasphemy, and the Jews wanted so much for Pilate to believe that Jesus had come to overthrow him and to establish a physical earthly kingdom, Pilate inquires concerning him, is your kingdom of this world? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, what type of a kingdom is it that Jesus Christ has come to establish? Good people, in this, Jesus came to establish a spiritual kingdom. And that spiritual kingdom is indeed the Lord's church. And when we think about Him as an official over the kingdom, as king over the kingdom, He's not like the other kings who are elected or appointed. Jesus Christ was appointed by our God. And He occupies this throne on the behalf of God. And during the time in which we think in regard to Him as ruling as king, not over a physical kingdom, we see is that He dwelt upon the face of the earth for a period of time, but yet at the same time, He no longer is here, and therefore He still continues to reign over the kingdom of which He is responsible for in its establishment in Acts chapter 2. His kingdom was started at Pentecost. Jesus promised in the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. There was a multitude of people there that day, and He said, many standing here this day will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. Jesus declared unto these people that God was going to establish a kingdom and that that kingdom would come with power. Well, good people, that kingdom is further identified through the words of Christ in the book of Mark, or Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus had asked the apostles, who do you say, or who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the other prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus declared to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. Based out of Peter's confession, Jesus Christ said that He was going to establish His church. He was going to establish a singular church. Singular possessive pronoun used there. I will build my church. The church that Jesus Christ, our Lord, promised to start. Good people, we find the introduction to that kingdom, to the Lord's church, in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 41, when Peter, we have his message declared there, presented Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, the one who would reign on the throne of David, and that He would be resurrected from the grave. And the Bible declares there is that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. We find the kingdom of our Lord and Savior established that very day there at Pentecost. In regard to Jesus Christ then, He reigns in a very special way over the Lord's church. In what way does He reign over the Lord's church? In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and He gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Well, what does it mean then that He gave Him to be head over all things to the church? Who is He who gave this? The Father. Our God appointed Jesus to be head over the church. What does it mean to be head over the church? He is the authority over the church. Jesus said Himself in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father except through Me. As the one who reigns over the church, Jesus Christ is indeed the authority who speaks on the behalf of God. When we think in regard to His authority, good people, we realize that He is indeed the lawgiver. As the lawgiver, we see is that God has always given law unto man. He gave law all the way back in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, they were instructed that they could partake of every tree of the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that in the day that they would partake thereof, they would surely die. Death surely would come as a result of their disobedience to God. Not only do we find is that God gave instruction through the patriarchal age in like figure under the Mosaic dispensation of time. God gave law unto the children of Israel. And God expected Israel to understand this law and then to abide therein. In the New Testament, under the new and final covenant, our God has given us law through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the final lawgiver. And as the lawgiver and the authority who speaks on the behalf of God, He is the man and the mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul declared by way through Timothy, through inspiration, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is indeed not just a man, a mere man, but rather He is the authority who speaks on the behalf of God, and He mediates on the behalf of man. He represents God to man, but also He represents man before God. And He's able to do that because of the fact that He lived here. He knows us. He understands us. He is the only advocate that mankind has. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He serves as an advocate. And that word advocate in the Greek language is a legal term, which indicates that He is the one who stands pleading our case on the behalf or before God on the behalf of us of the sin that we would commit during the time in which we live here. In all things, we learn from the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, He had to be made like His brethren, that He would become a faithful and merciful high priest. In order for Him to understand us and therefore to properly stand before God and to plead our case. Jesus had to be made like us so that He would understand us and represent us well before God. He is the mighty warrior against Satan. Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 30. Jesus Christ entered into the strong man's house, and He bound the strong man. Someone might say, and rightfully so then, in their question as to why they face temptation, Kevin, if this is the case, why is it then that I continue to face temptation? In binding Satan, good people, He gave him limited authority. And now, as we look in regard to this, Jesus Christ has conquered him in the fact that Satan's not able to run wild or to run loose to tempt man in the ways in which he had in the past. In these things, we realize is that Jesus Christ, by entering into the strong man's house and binding Satan, He has given us an opportunity to serve God and to overcome the temptations that Satan lays down for us. But not only in regard to our life here, we realize that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross and was resurrected by the glory and the power of our God, He in like figure gives us an opportunity to have victory over death, over the final death, the grave. Good people, as we think in regard to these things, there are requirements that God expects you and me to understand as we live here as Christians or citizens in the kingdom of God. We must love our Lord as both we must love Christ as both Lord and Savior. We must love Him as the Master and as the Teacher of all things. We must love Him and appreciate Him as our Savior, the source of our salvation, and the sustainer of our eternal life that we can indeed have if we remain faithful to God until the very end. But also, we must honor Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People get caught up in people during the time of our life here. Many will remember famous presidents or people from the past that they have put a lot of stock in. And in that, certainly there's nothing at all wrong with us recognizing good people from the past. But yet at the same time, when it comes to those who rule, we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is indeed King. King on the behalf of God. And that others pale in comparison to Him and His kingship. And therefore, we need to allow Christ to reign in our lives and to honor Him as the King that our God has set forth over His kingdom, the Lord's church. We must submit ourselves to Christ as the head. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We understand that Christ is the head of every man. And when we think about Christ being the head of every man, and that word submission, it means that we need to be obedient to Christ. We need to be obedient to Christ by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God and submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. But continue then to allow Him to rule over our life, to live our life faithful to God unto the end. And no matter what people say or no matter what people do, no matter which direction people go in, we continue to live our life in the direction that God spells out for us as Christians through the New Testament Scripture. And good people, also, we must understand our citizenship. Yes, we have responsibilities as citizens who live here in this world. But as citizens who live in this world, we do indeed have a responsibility to those who rule over us. We need to submit to those who rule over us. We need to work hard to earn our keep, to have our place in life. And we need to help others whenever we're given an opportunity to do so. But you know, in the big picture, God identifies to us is that our citizenship as those who are in the kingdom of God, to those who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, our true citizenship is in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in the eternal kingdom in heaven to be with our God. And for that reason, we need to do all that we can to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven versus here in this world. We need to make certain that we live according to the law of God, according to the New Testament standards, so that whatever we do, we are not guilty of violating the laws of God, but rather complying with the love that we have for God to His will, to the direction that He expects man to go in life. And therefore, if we submit ourselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Lord, good people, whenever we stand before our God in heaven, we shall be found as one of His faithful children and be granted to enter into an eternal life that is prepared by our God. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. And the only way in which we're going to be able to go and to take part in that place that is prepared for us is if we prepare our lives by giving our life over to Christ and living faithful to Him as we live our life here. Thank you so much for joining us.